Big Banks Pay Big.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Financial institutions are paying big for their role in the credit crisis. In the last year, banks have written off nearly $500 billion, and yesterday, Citigroup and Merrill Lynch agreed to buy back more than $17 billion worth of auction-rate securities. Those are long-term bonds whose interest rates are set by auction, or used to be. Sales have frozen up because of the credit crunch, and investors are now cut off from their money. Banks are accused of selling the securities as ultra-safe, basically like cash. State and federal regulators are investigating more than a dozen financial institutions, including Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, and JP Morgan Chase. Call it the credit crunch blues, but yesterday the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost almost 2%. Europe, though, is up this morning. London's FTSE and Germany's DAX have both added about a tenth of a percent. That's mostly because oil prices are down a bit today, about $119 a barrel. They've fallen almost 20% in recent weeks. But in a study out today, a British energy expert is warning crude could go back to the lofty levels we saw just a few weeks ago. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
Don't be fooled by the recent sharp fall in the price of oil, says Professor Paul Stevens. Long term, it's going to head very much higher. In a study for the British think tank Chatham House, Stevens says the world could face a major oil supply crisis in as little as 5 years. The problem, he says, is underinvestment. Producer countries are starving their state-owned oil companies of cash, and the major international oil companies are too concerned about taking care of their shareholders.
They've been giving a lot of money back to the shareholders in the form of higher dividends and buying back their own shares. And of course, that is money that's going out of the investment pot for the industry.
A major global recession and a collapse in demand for oil would only postpone the supply crunch, says Stevens. He thinks crude prices could hit $200 a barrel within the next decade. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The high cost of oil has hammered us at the gas pump and taken a big toll on the sales of trucks and SUVs. Today, the Toyota Tundra will stop rolling off assembly lines in Texas and Indiana. Toyota is suspending its production of the pickup for a few months, but that doesn't mean the Tundra is riding into the sunset. Marketplace's Renita Jablonski has more.
The Tundra is a half-ton, full-size pickup with a V8 engine. That's car talk for big and big gas tank.
The all-new, built-in-America Toyota Tundra, the truck that's changing it all.
It's certainly changing Toyota's profitability. Tundra sales are down 15% so far this year. Tom Libby is an automotive analyst with J.D. Power & Associates. He says when production of the truck resumes, it'll be at a slower pace. Consumers may be buying fewer Tundras, but Libby says commercial demand will ultimately keep sales steady.
Contractors need the utility, the bed size, the all-wheel drive, the off-road, et cetera, of large pickups, and there is no substitute.
Toyota says nearly 4,000 full-time employees in Indiana and Texas are affected by the suspension. They'll stay on the job doing training and plant improvements. I'm Renita Jablonski for Marketplace.
As we head towards the end of summer, a lot of teenagers will be heading towards college, where they will spend time finding themselves, learning the delicate art of the keg stand, and picking a major. Business Week has some data on the college grads who earn the most. Turns out Yale alums earn the most money after graduation, top earning Elis pull in around $325,000. The majors that rake in the most money are economics and finance. Those who listen to Marketplace saw even more. Okay, fine. That last part's just speculation.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivent.com.
The opening ceremonies for the Beijing Olympics air tonight on NBC. The network is already getting a gold. So far, its ad sales total $1 billion, with more deals on the way. Businesses are paying around $750,000 for a 30-second spot. NBC plans to air 3,600 hours of Olympics across 8 networks. That's more airtime than all of the previous Summer Olympics combined. We have Daily Variety's Mike Spire here to break it all down for us. Mike, 3,600 hours of Olympics? How is that possible?
For NBC, this is really the first Olympics, and they've covered many, that they get to utilize their entire family of networks to broadcast it. And, you know, you'll see it on networks like Oxygen. They're going to broadcast certain hours. CNBC, which is obviously a business channel, they're going to broadcast some hours. So when something like this happens, they can utilize it for better or for worse, because I don't know how the ratings are going to be when you're seeing, you know, a certain type of sport on Oxygen, but they can claim that it's everything people want.
And speaking of ratings, I mean, 2 years ago, the games in Torino, the ratings were horrible. They got 20 million viewers. That's less than Dancing with the Stars.
Right. 2 years ago, it was the Winter Olympics, and America and the Winter Olympics don't always jibe. This is probably going to be a little different, number one, because of the amount of programming you can watch and that it is accessible. Number two, you can't discount the China factor, which is talk radio, talk television can talk about the politics, sports radio, sports TV can talk about the sports, and everyone can get a piece of something, and that probably will turn into good ratings.
So you really think that NBC will get a lot of bang for its buck out of this?
I think the Olympics always do. That's why networks go hard after them. And at the same time, you have the internet factor, which is they're going to broadcast pretty much everything online. They're going to stream everything. This is really the first Olympics where the internet plays not only a part, but an integral part in the broadcasting of it.
Right. They're selling downloads on iTunes and their YouTube's airing parts of the Olympics. And it's really a very internet Olympics.
Right. The monetization of anything now is easier online because of iTunes, because of YouTube advertising, because of Google advertising. And they all have deals with the Olympics now. And so, you know, they're not stupid. They've made these deals for a reason. And even if it's a small percentage or a small part of the audience, it's bigger than it ever was. And it's just going to keep growing. So the internet will play a significant part along with the TV coverage across so many networks. And so they usually get their money back. Advertisers certainly want in. They're claiming that they're plump with cash. So it's usually a good ratings bonanza for them.
Michael Spire is the executive editor of Daily Variety. Michael, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.